With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pit, joined by...
I'm Jeremy J.M. Fiend in the building in the booth.
We are the Raspy Voice Kids. This is the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. You are now tuned in to pop culture.
Hit you with that pop.
And today we are talking more celebrity gossip, more celebrity drama. Today we are talking about the Ben Affleck accusations against Jennifer Garner. Jeremy, what do you think about the rumors and the accusations?
Him saying that he felt trapped in his marriage to Jennifer Garner. Well, how much time you got, buddy? Because a lot of people feel the exact same way. He's going off saying this and saying that. And look, I get it. And I'm not saying that all marriages are perfect. But to come out and now spill the beans about Jennifer Garner going to put my homegirl on blast from West By God, Virginia? Nah, we can't have that, Brandon. We can't have that.
Now, I will say, like Jeremy just mentioned, Jennifer Garner is a mountain mama. She is from West Virginia. She is basically our kin. Okay? I'm going to say that. She's basically like family. She don't know it, but we know it. But that does not mean we will defend her just to defend her. I'm out here in these streets on this day choosing violence against Ben Affleck because I need accountability. And people in relationships who blame their significant other for everything, including personal issues like a drinking problem, need to be checked. Ben Affleck said that if he was still married to Jennifer Garner, he'd still be drinking. Jeremy, do you know one of the reasons why I find that absolutely absurd?
Nah, give it to me.
They split in 2015. Guess who was seen driving him to rehab in 2018?
Was it Jennifer?
That's right. Jennifer Garner had him... driving to rehab 3 years after their split. So for him to blame her is just absurd. Take some accountability. It's kind of like this whole conversation we had about Taylor Swift. We talked about T-Swizzle. We're like, how can everyone else always be the problem? Right? When he broke up with Jennifer Lopez, he blamed her. He blamed her lifestyle. He blamed the pressures of that level of fame. It was not his fault. It was all her. Grow up, Ben.
No, and you learn in life. You learn in life. And I've told this to multiple people, but you learn in life. A person who doesn't accept responsibility, 99% of the time, their life is going to suck. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to have money. I'm not saying that from a material standpoint, they're not going to be successful. But deep down, when you don't accept responsibility for nothing, that means that you're not in control. Either you are or you're not. And if you're not, I'm telling you, you can't be happy. When somebody goes around blaming everything on everybody, and we all have been there, we've seen people in our lives, we've seen people that we work with where nothing is ever their fault. I learned my lesson very early in life. I was in fourth grade. Me and this girl got in this fight. We go out in the classroom. The teacher calls out in the classroom. She lets a girl go back in, and she's like, Jeremy, you stay there. And her name was Miss Taylor. I said, Miss Taylor, what? I didn't even do nothing. And I remember her stopping at the door, looking at me and saying, Jeremy, nothing's ever your fault. And she shut the door and walked in. And it was powerful. But people don't grow up just because they get older. People grow up when they've been through something and have to adjust. Now, fortunately for me, that happened in fourth grade. I don't know what happened to Ben Affleck that never happened that where he had to take responsibility for what he's done. But clearly, it's not sinking in because I'm sitting here looking online. CNN.com says Ben Affleck says that he felt trapped in his marriage to Jennifer Garner. The New York Post, Ben Affleck's cruelty knows no limit after terrible Jennifer Garner insult. USA Today, once again, has a headline. People Magazine, headline. Yeah. Woe is me, nothing ever his fault.
I saw a tweet that said, so because Ben Affleck felt trapped in his marriage to Jennifer Garner, he started drinking and then sleeping with the nanny. Oh, yeah. He left the nanny bit out. He felt so trapped in his marriage that 3 years after they separated, Jennifer had to drive him to rehab. He is nothing but trash in my book. And Jeremy, I'm sorry, I got to concur. I'm straight mad at Ben Affleck. I mean, there was a part of me at times that liked him, that thought maybe he was a talented dude. And there's no question. He's definitely talented as an actor, as a producer, director. He's done lots of great things. But as a man, I don't respect no man who can't stand up and accept his own. You got a drinking problem? That's on you. Deal with it.
I get you, and we're going to wrap it up right there. I will also say there's so many nuances and things that you don't know. What I learned a long time ago, too, is there's two sides to every story. And right now we're hearing what he says, and we may hear what she says, but unless you were there, a lot of times you don't know exactly what happened and how it went down. But in the end, I think it's a terrible thing to blame somebody else for some of your own faults in the end. So that's where I stand.
Amen.
That's what it is. That's your boys, the RVK. Get at us. Up next, I got five on it.
Rat me, boys!
You guys, our partners at Symbol have a brand new offering that we are really excited about. A quick reminder that you probably already know. Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your teams win, you earn cash. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Join the 8,000-plus early adopters who have started to invest in their favorite teams. Visit www.symbol.com to create a free account, and when you deposit, make sure to use the promo code RASPY12, RASPY12, for a money-back guarantee. Yes, you heard that right. Symbol is offering a money-back guarantee to all of the listeners for our show. That money-back guarantee means even if you lose money in the first 90 days, Symbol will refund your initial deposit, no questions asked. Visit www.symbol.com and use the promo code RASPY12 and your deposit will have a money-back guarantee up to $500. Join Symbol and start investing and profiting from your favorite teams today.
Season is finally here, Big 12 fans. And for your home for men's and women's basketball, come to Midwest Madness. We are doing game coverages, going over game analysis, different rankings of teams, and consistently looking at the best matchups in the conference. You're not going to want to miss out on all the amazing basketball coverage we have. So go check out Midwest Madness, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got five on it. Five more questions coming for the RVK. We're going to answer them. We're going to give you what we got. Hey, Jordan, let's get ready to roll.
It's that time again. Time for another segment of I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. I'm your host, Jordan Ty Curry, and let's get things started with the first blank. West Virginia not being ranked in basketball is blank.
Fair. I don't know how else to say this. It's fair. You look at our Ken Pom rankings. You look at our net rankings. West Virginia is a good team, but not a great team, and certainly not necessarily a top 25 team. Yes, we beat UConn, the number 15 team in the country. We beat them without two of their best players, and we barely beat them at home. So, no, I don't think West Virginia is being treated unfairly. I think them not being ranked is actually fair.
I like the answer. West Virginia not being ranked is no big deal. It's really no big deal at this point. People want to be like, oh, nobody gives West Virginia respect. Yeah, we'll do something to get respect. Look, we beat the number 15 team, but like you said, they didn't have their best two players. And I'm not watering down the victory. I'm just saying we have to bust out and show that we're actually a good team. Most importantly, we have a whole Big 12 schedule to prove that. Right now, it's no big deal. It kind of irritates me to see people saying, well, why are we ranked? Yeah, give us some time. We haven't beaten anybody that's ridiculously good. Like I said, you get that little asterisk by UConn. We're going to have plenty of time to prove who we are. I like what our defense looks like, but right now we need some other people to step up. But bottom line is we'll be able to prove who we are. And that's what's so great about the NCAA tournament and these conference tournaments, that you get to prove it on the court.
Number two, woo! I'm second most excited to see blank playing from this recruiting class.
Now, this is a trick answer. Normally you get trick questions. This is a trick answer. I'm going to say Jalen Anderson. Why? Because Jalen Anderson was in last year's class, but he didn't get in till late, so he never got on the field. So technically he's basically counting against this year. 4-star running back. Think he could be a stud. I'm excited to see Jalen Anderson.
Good answer. The reason why we said second most excited, because everybody's most excited to see Nico, obviously. Arizona State Gatorade Player of the Year. Big shout outs. Everybody wants to see him play. Everybody wants to see him ball because of our lack of production. I don't know, from the quarterback spot. So that's number one for everybody. Number two, man, you know me. I love the DBs. I want to see Jacoby Spells. Came to West Virginia over the U, over Miami, over a couple other teams. Neil Brown, I'm pretty sure, said he's going to have an impact from day one. And I can't wait to see him. To get a lockdown corner, somebody who can play ball like that. Especially, he comes from the same high school as Daryl Porter, American Heritage. So, you know, not giving anybody nicknames because I almost threw one out there just now. But I'm excited to see him and his other brother from American Heritage, Daryl Porter Jr., do their thing on the Heritage chain of islands, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see it.
Number three. For this year's team, I'd rather have Taz or Deuce.
Give me Deuce. Now, I know it's easy to say because Deuce is in the NBA, but I think there are a combination of things that make Deuce the better selection in this case. I respect and love what Taz does, but if I'm going strictly on this year and this team, give me Deuce.
Yes, we're going to keep this very simple because we're going to get into this one on I'm Going In, which is coming up next segment. Right now for this year's team, I want Taz. Give me Taz. Give me Taz for this year's team. We'll get into it later on, but that's my answer, Taz.
Number four, National Signing Day is blank.
Overrated. It is massively overrated. It's overrated because kids who sign may not qualify. Kids who sign can transfer soon as the season starts, sometimes even before. Kids who do sign have a better chance of being on campus, but nothing is absolute till they're playing. So it's overrated talking about your team getting better. It's overrated talking about what they bring to the table. It's overrated talking about how they stuck with it through the whole process. It's just a massive overrated moment.
I get you, and I almost went with the same thing, but it is not overrated, Brandon. This is a grown program thing. National Signing Day is exciting for the biggest boys, the big boy programs. Because whereas West Virginia, our guys are set, and we may have one or two people flip or, you know, little things that really is not going to make too many waves. But if you're Ohio State, if you're Alabama, if you're USC, Notre Dame, LSU, Georgia, Brandon, there are kids who are in the top 10 right now who are playing in the Under Armour All-American game who have to make their decision, who are going to make their decision within the next few days and put their name on the dotted line. So it's exciting for big programs who are fighting over these elite, talented kids. But for us, it's so overrated. The excitement lies in the elites. And that's what it is. You can be mad about it if you want to, but that's just how it works out.
Number five. Woo! Blank wins the AFC North.
Baltimore is beaten to death. Injuries all around, including to Lamar Jackson. The Browns, beaten up in lots of places. Their defense wasn't good to begin with, but now Baker's in the virus protocol. A lot of people saying Baker's not doing his job, but now he can't do it in any way at all. And the Browns are not very good. So there's two down. The Bengals have lost four of their last six as of this recording. And the Steelers are the Steelers. We've watched them. Their offensive line is butt. They seem to lack a sense of urgency. They definitely lack discipline. Uncharacteristic of a Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh Steelers team. So despite all the flaws that I've listed for each of those teams in the AFC North, to me, the one with the best roster and the best quarterback is Joey Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Give me those boys from Southwest Ohio. I believe the Bengals win despite their cheapskate owner.
Yes, I'm going with the Ravens. I don't believe in Baker. There's something wrong up there in Cleveland. His confidence is shook. I don't know what's wrong with Cincinnati. They're an enigma. Like, they should be producing and they don't. They keep blowing these games against teams that they should win. Pittsburgh's the same old Pittsburgh, except for Ben Roethlisberger's not getting you out of anything now. They come with grit. They play with great defense. Actually, they have a lot better record than I thought they would because their team really isn't that good. But Ben is done. So by default, I know the Ravens are banged up, but somehow they still have a game lead on everybody. Everybody in the division has 6 losses. The Ravens have 5 losses. It's going to be a close one. We can see who gets their act together. But for now, I go with the Ravens because I just don't believe in any of the other teams in the AFC North. That's what we got. 5 questions, 5 answers. I can't wait to go in. I can't wait to go in on this Taz or Deuce thing. Which one is the better player? I don't know if it's better player or best for this team. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get into it. We going in next.
Rap me, boys!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boy Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt, here to tell you about our new partner, Home Field Apparel. The big thing about Home Field Apparel is they have the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel. T-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, more than 100 schools available, and new ones added all the time. Now, of course, if you're listening to this, you're probably a Mountaineer fan. You'll be happy to know they have plenty of WVU clothing, not like everything else you find everywhere else. This is very specific and unique to Home Field. You need to check them out. It is fantastic. If you use our promo code RASPY12, RASPY12, you get 15% off your first order. All orders over $100 get free shipping. So make sure you go to Home Field Apparel, check them out, buy their clothes, and use code RASPY12. Gridiron Metalworks is our new sponsor for the Raspy Boys Kids for the RVK. We are now working with Gridiron Metalworks. It's the perfect gift for the hard to shop for. Metal home goods that are made for college super fans. You can find collegiate branded grills, grates, and griddles, and or flower pots, stainless steel bookends, and coasters, even can coolers, all in actual school colors, not just the, oh, it's close, like other manufacturers do. It's a gift that you can almost guarantee someone doesn't have. It's high quality and made in the USA. Also, there's free shipping on all orders over $100. Go to www.gridironmetal.com. Use the code RASPY12 and you can jump in on the benefits. Gridiron Metalworks, making things that you want, that you need.
I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in.
And I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard.
They're going in, I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in.
And I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard.
We're going in. And we finna go hard. It's the Raspy Voice Kids. This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt. Joined by Jeremy J.N. Fiend Phoenix. We are in the building. We are in the booth. And we are talking a question regarding Mountaineer Nation. Jeremy, who is... Well, I mean, I guess it depends. Who are you taking on this year's team? Deuce or Taz?
I'm trying to find the first person I saw who, because somebody tweeted this, and they said I want to give a credit. I'm sorry, I can't remember. Oh no, there it was, John Brents. Oh, Facebook. Let's go Mountaineers. Okay, John Brents, B-R-E-T-Z. He said Taz is better than Deuce.
Okay, now see that's different than who would you take on this team?
All right. All right. I don't even know where to start. But let's go. Is Taz better than Deuce, Brandon?
No, Taz is not better than Deuce. Here's one of the things you have to recognize. Taz offensively is probably more gifted than Deuce McBride. I'll give him that. Taz is more creative, has a better ability to make tough shots, I would say. Offensively, I'm going to give it scoring. I shouldn't even say offensively. Scoring the ball, I give to Taz Sherman. Because Taz Sherman is gifted. Probably our most gifted scorer since Drew Schifino, who averaged 20-plus in his Mountaineer days. And yeah. I don't think anybody's done that since Drew Schifino did.
But get into the team. But. I want to hear the but.
But. One of the things you have to remember is you're grading Deuce as a sophomore versus Taz as a super senior. One. Two.
That's a good
you're
point.
Grading
that's a,
Deuce.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that, but go ahead.
You're grading Deuce based on his playing with Derek Culver with an inside-out offense where they force-fed the post between Oscar and Derek Culver, where Deuce was not granted the freedom to not run offense and just to be wild and free like Taz has been given that freedom in the green light this year. Taz and Sean McNeil, for that matter.
Yeah, Go ahead.
Three, Deuce McBride plays significantly better on the ball defense than Taz Sherman could ever dream of playing. And I don't think it's close. And if we're talking about the better player in the NBA, in college, it matters being able to play both sides of the basketball. It's not like the NFL. It's not like baseball. You've got to be able to do both to be considered great. Deuce can do both. Taz can't or doesn't.
I will agree with you 100%. I think Deuce is the better player. Deuce has better defense. Deuce has better offense. He has more control. I didn't think about the super senior versus a sophomore, but that's a big thing. Also, Taz has to do it against big competition and big games. I've seen Deuce show up and win a huge game for West Virginia. And in those same games, I saw Taz playing and Taz was not hitting or producing last year. I've seen it. But for this team right here, there's no question that you need Taz Sherman. This team lacks so much offense that you need somebody out there with no conscience. With no conscience. See, that's the problem. Deuce thinks too much. Deuce makes the smart plays. That's not what we need on this team. I honestly think that this year, we don't need... we would love to have Deuce. Deuce can score. But what we need is somebody with no conscience who's just going to be jacking the ball up. And that's what Taz does. And that's what's needed. His role on this team is very necessary. And he has the green light to shoot because he seems like the only one who wants to shoot other than Sean McNeil. We needed this guy. We needed this guy that has no conscience, who's going to chuck up the ball, who's going to take every shot. And look, he's hitting right now. But I need to see him do it against big competition in Big 12 games. That's where I need to see it. Keep showing me against these small teams right now, he looks like an unstoppable force. But there's a lot of season left against some really good teams, and I got to see him remain at this level. But you know what? He's exactly what we needed this year. And hey, hats off to Hugs to be able to, because I never thought I'd see a day where he just said, go out there and shoot the ball whenever, however you want, because that's the only way we have a chance to win.
My thoughts on what you're saying is that you're mostly right. We definitely need a guy like Taz on this offense. One thing I want to ask you, though, Jeremy, is who is our point guard?
Malik Curry, Johnson, Kedrian Johnson.
Kedrian Johnson.
Yeah.
Do we have an offensive point guard, a guy who can set up and facilitate on this offense?
I think we do, but he hasn't done it yet. So, no, we have not seen that yet.
Okay, because, see, I don't believe we have it. I don't think Malik Curry can do it. King Curry's not the guy. I don't believe in Kedrian Johnson. Besides, his defense, his on-the-ball defense is legit, and I love it. But as far as offensive, part of why Taz and Sean have to go out there and just go is because they can't do anything else, Jeremy. They can't set anybody up. They can't create post plays. They can't create anything but their own offense. And Sean McNeil struggles even with that to some extent. So for me, it's not even close. Like, this offense needs a point guard. So even in the case of this specific team, I'm taking Deuce. Because I think Deuce, and if you let Deuce go wild, because you watch Deuce offensively as a Nick, he looks better offensively than he did playing in Morgantown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree.
And part of that is playing in the NBA system. Part of that is extra training. Part of that, he would be a junior at this point. So just natural growth. But the other part is, when you're not being told, force the ball to Derek, why didn't Derek get a touch every time down the court? Why didn't Sheboy get a touch?
Because Sheboy was early on it, too, when we were trying to force it inside.
Yes. When you're not being told that and you're being told to be free, I don't know how Deuce would respond, but I'm imagining, based on what I'm seeing, that he could do stuff similar to Taz. Not as well as Taz, but similar.
I personally think, talent-wise, I think Deuce has more talent than Taz. I think he shoots just as well. I think he just didn't have the green light. And then the other part of it is the conscious thing. Like I said, like, you didn't have to tell Taz, go shoot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had to hold him back from it.
The other thing I'll say is, when did Deuce miss free throws like this?
I know. And that was a big thing. Taz's mama out there talk about, we don't miss free throws. And then he stays missing free throws. Now, he's a good free throw shooter. I'm just saying. every game, man. He's not automatic from up there.
I think we're like 130th out of 138 teams in free throw shooting.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's a crazy stat. And I meant to look at it because I know every year it's always the player's fault that they don't shoot good free throws. And maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like every year we have this problem, or every other year, or a lot of times in Coach Huggins' career with West Virginia, somehow we can't make free throws, but it's always the kids' fault.
Weird. Yeah, and newsflash, the kids change. You get new kids every year. So I'm not blaming the kids for not being able to shoot free throws, even though it's ultimately their fault. They've got to go in there and make them. They've got to go in there and practice them. There's something missing from the way that we train kids to shoot free throws and prepare them for those moments, because year in and year out, we have this problem.
And year out, you watch these other teams come in and play and go 11 for 12 from free throw line. You know what I mean? Other teams do it. They do it all the time, consistently. How come everybody else can shoot free throws and we always struggle with it? I don't get it.
And it hasn't beaten us yet, but it's going to.
Oh, it's definitely going to. We're going to lose some games because of it. That's 100% double stamp, a triple stamp.
Can't triple stamp a double stamp.
All right, so what about this National Signing Day?
I used to look forward to it. I remember the Jason Gwaltney days when he was going to sign, and I stopped what I was doing to go stand at a friend's house to watch their ESPN to make sure Jason Gwaltney signed with us over Ohio State and USC. It was exciting. Now, of course, that was in February at the time, but it was exciting because it felt final. Once a kid picked you and they signed their name on National Signing Day, that was it. They were yours. That's not the way it is anymore, Jay. You think about how big a news it was when Quinn Ewers decided to leave the state of Texas to become an Ohio State Buckeye just a year ago. He forwent. Is that how you say it? Forwent?
Something like that.
He forwent his senior season to go to Ohio State, get the NIL money of $1 million, never play significant time for Ohio State, and now he transferred already to go get another bag at Texas. So it's just not final. And you're saying for the big boys, it's exciting. But even for the big boys, it's temporary. Remember Justin Fields at Georgia?
Yeah. No, it's a good point. For me, the reason why it's not as exciting for me is because I just remember back in the day, Dad used to bring us these papers home and we'd read about all these kids and all this stuff. But now coverage is so intense and we have everything in our hands within 5 seconds. Every time there's something that's made, an announcement that's made, or, things that open up, we see it immediately on Twitter. You don't have to wait till National Signing Day because you pretty much already know. Back in the day, it was a little bit more veiled. And so then when these kids did come in, it was, oh, great, this is awesome. Oh, let me check them out. We've done so much checking. I mean, like I said, I didn't say this, but it feels like Bobby Brown. Every little step I take, you will be there. And that's where we are. Every step, every move these recruits make, we're already on top of it. It's anticlimactic sometimes. But the other thing for me, the reason why signing day doesn't mean as much is not only could these kids transfer, not only do we pretty much know who's coming, but because now at West Virginia, Brandon, all I care about is winning. I've always only cared about winning. But now, because we haven't had the most stellar 3 years under Neil Brown, I don't care how the sausage is made. I don't care. It just better be good when it gets to my plate. And next year, it better be good. I don't care. I don't care how it's made. I don't care. You just better produce on the field. I don't care your reasonings. I don't care who decommitted. I don't care who's sitting out. I don't care who gets hurt. We better win next year. So all this is for nothing because I don't care about this. All I care about is winning. And next year, we better win.
Amen. That's where I'm at. Exactly. That's what I wanted to say to you. Exactly. I don't care. Don't give me the excuses. Don't give me the expectations. Don't give me the reasons. Don't show me the Vegas predictions. Don't give me the over. I don't care about any of it.
Brandon.
Home, away.
Because if we were winning, this would be different. But we're not winning. It's like going over somebody's house to eat dinner. And you get there early, and the food's all on the table, different foods that they're waiting to cut up and put it. Ooh, and you start to look, ooh, yeah, we're going to have some cabbage. Or, ooh, look at all those steaks marinating. It looks good. But if you sit there for hours and hours, at some point, I don't care about the ingredients. I'm just hungry. Give me the food. And that's what we are. We haven't won for so. I just want to win next year. I don't care what happened. I don't care what went into it. I don't care how hard you worked. All I care about is I'm hungry and I want some food. I'm tired of it, okay?
It's a good analogy, but I would say it's like sitting at a restaurant, Jay, and you order something off the menu and they say, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of that. You order something else, oh, I'm sorry, we have a supply chain issue, it's not here. Right? There's always an excuse. There's always an excuse. And unlike that analogy you gave, the food does not look good in the window. We are not looking at prime rib. We're not looking at Kobe beef. We're not looking at Wagyu. Is it Wagyu? Yeah, Wagyu steak. We're not looking at that.
We're looking at fried bologna.
Fried bologna, hot dogs. But I don't care as long as I get fed. Let's get the job done.
And it better be good.
And I don't care about the price either. I'll pay whatever to get a win, to get wins. We got to beat Pitt.
Yes,
gotta be Virginia Tech.
And all the pun intended. I will pay whatever price.
Yeah, there's not pun. There's no pun. It's not a joke. I'm dead serious. If it's up to me and I got it, I'm paying whatever it takes to get the wins that we need.
Yep.
Because I'm tired of losing. Now, I do not expect us to go undefeated. Let me say that on the record. Do not expect us to go undefeated. I do not expect us to win the conference. It's okay if we don't win the conference for me. I expect a minimum, bare minimum of 8 wins next year, come hell or high water, 8 wins with an expectation of 9.
That's what I'm saying. I want 8 wins. I want to win. I just want to win. I don't care about the sausage and how it's made. But that's what we got, Brandon. You want to talk about Chef Curry, breakthrough point, or you want to just let that one go?
No, I mean, it was a big deal that Steph Curry was able to break the record for the most threes made in NBA history. The most impressive part of it to me, you know what it was, Jeremy?
What?
He did it in 511 less games than Ray Allen. Yeah. That's insane. 511 less games, and he's broken the record, and he's got a significant amount of time left in his career to just pad this stat. So, and he also spent some of his early career injured with ankle injuries. And he's still able to achieve this. He's the greatest shooter of all time. And it can't be argued.
Yep,
statistically,
absolutely.
It can't be argued. It can't be argued if you just look at it with your eyes. It can't be argued. His
The only person I will put up there in his stratosphere as in shooters ever plays on the same team. Because Klay Thompson. And Klay Thompson is going to have that Scottie Pippen his whole life. I don't think people will ever, and they try to act like they appreciate him. Klay Thompson is an incredible, I mean, he, like I said, it's 1A, not 1A, but 1 and 2, Batman and Robin. But Klay is an amazing, amazing shooter. I've seen this dude go off, score 30 points in a quarter. The kid is amazing, but because he's on a team with Steph Curry, it's always going to be overshadowed. But anyway, not taken away from what Steph did, Steph, greatest shooter of all time. I'm also saying Klay's up there, top 5 as well.
Yeah, no, that's good.
But that's it. That's what we got.
Well, wait. I wanted to say one other thing about Curry. I'm tired of this kind of stuff happening to the Knicks, Jeremy.
Always. Always.
We're Knicks fans. The Knicks put out a tweet. This is great for the Knicks fans to experience greatness like this. No, it's not great. I'm tired of us not creating greatness. We're just experiencing greatness, whether it be Jordan in the Garden or Steph in the Garden. Or anybody else who ends up in the Garden, it's anybody but somebody in the blue, white, and orange. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Dolan. Tibbs is done. It doesn't really matter. You can keep him. You can let him go. It doesn't matter. I just hope they don't ruin Deuce McBride. Let Deuce cook. Let him develop as a player. That's what I hope more than anything else. But I'm tired of greatness not coming from Manhattan and from Madison Square Garden.
Well, there you have it. That's the wrap up. Brandon got real liberal saying we. Glad I hopefully he got a mouse in his pocket. Hopefully he got a mouse in his pocket. But that's it for the RBK this week. Get at your boys. Holla at us.
Sports Social Podcast Network.